And thank you, Cressa, for your warm welcomes, facilitating these happy hellos on this cool, cloudy Sunday morning. My name is Samantha, and I'm your digital worship associate this morning. As Cressa said, we are filming, so if you want to turn your video off to avoid being on the recording, feel free to do so. As always, we begin by acknowledging with respect the First Nations on whose land we Zoom. In particular, the Songhees and Esquimalt or Lekwungen speaking peoples and the Wasanich First Nations. Most of us are connecting from those lands, and most of us are settlers here on these indigenous lands in these strange times, doing what we can to slow the spread of disease and keep our communities safe. This is our fifth Zoom service and sixth virtual service, and our first digital intergenerational service, so we thought it was time for something completely different. I hope you enjoy this unconventional intergenerational service. Our theme of the month is liberation, asking what does it mean to be a people of liberation? A very interesting question at a time when so many restrictions on our movements and activities are high. A few housekeeping items and then some announcements before we get started. Please ensure that you're on mute. It sounds like everybody is because I can only hear myself. Maybe some of my kiddos in the background. For the duration of the service, unless otherwise asked, words for the songs will be in the chat box. So look out for that. If anyone suspicious happens to hop on the call and do something untoward, know that there's people who will quickly remove them. Our Caring Concern Network is helping to ensure that congregants are getting what they need, whether it be groceries or someone to talk to during this strange time. If you are in need of help or would like to offer help, please contact the coordinator, Barbara Boyle. If this is your first time joining our congregation, know that you're especially welcome here in our online sanctuary. There is actually an exploring membership session, I believe it's at noon, for those interested in learning more about our community. The session will be with Reverend Shauna and members of the membership committee. It'll include some information about UU history and have an opportunity to connect with others. There's no children's programming today after the service because kiddos are invited to stay here for the entire Zoom service. For families, good to know that there's a parent and caregiver check-in happening every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. And everyone is welcome, families and those without children in the household, to social justice story time. That's at 8:30 a.m. every day except Sunday, hosted by Lindsay. I hope you find the service fun and uplifting, giving you a boost for the days ahead. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Aaron to introduce our chalice lighting.
Good morning. The president and the councils of the board are asked to nominate volunteers who have made a significant contribution to the life of the church and Unitarian Universalist community. I'm pleased to announce this month, Anna Isaacs has been nominated by Nancy Dobbs, chair of the Spiritual Development Council. Anna grew up unchurched in a little mill town in central BC before moving to Victoria for university. She was looking for a spiritual community in her mid-20s, and since she didn't have a car, she started going to Capital UU. She first became involved in our church by serving on the committee for the ministerial student that the two congregations shared, and she remains a dual citizen of both Victoria congregations. Anna says the UU community is a place where she can indulge her short attention span of her curious mind, her older sibling bossy organizer tendencies, and her creative itch to try out new things and to try out old things in new ways. This is something I've benefited from both personally and in my job here at the church. On my first Sunday in Victoria, I attended a service at Capital, and Anna introduced herself after the service. We had a great chat, which was followed up a few days later with an email linking me to various UUs in Victoria and beyond, with a helpful list of projects that I might want to get involved with. I have since appreciated her friendship and her support as a volunteer with our children and youth programs. But her volunteering expands way beyond that. So far, her involvement in our community has also included helping with worship, retreats, rentals, reconciliation, boards, nominating, conferences, pride, camps, outreach, finance, and dance parties, and so much more. She does so much behind the scenes, it's hard for us to have a complete list, but you can read more about her in our April newsletter. Anna and her daughter, Rowan, were also asked to be the family chalice lighters for this month, so she's doing double duty. Though sadly, Rowan can't be with us this morning because she's with her other parents during COVID, but Anna will now light the chalice of our faith. And if you have a chalice at home, feel free to light yours at this point as well.
I'm going to take this opportunity to try something out. Did you guys hear that? That was my ba-dum-ching. Hopefully that should make me appear on the screen. There we go. We're lit. Who's next?
I'm next.
Awesome.
So good morning, everyone. It's always fantastic to see all of your faces. I'm always deeply moved by how seeing someone on a screen can be so meaningful. I invite you, if you wish, to move now to speaker view so that you can see me. I'm going to offer what our worship planning team has dubbed a homilini. And so now would be a good time to move to speaker view if you wish to mostly stay focused on me, but also feel free to continue to look at everybody else if you would prefer to stay in gallery view. So as many people have already said this morning, this is kind of a strange time that we've been living through recently. Some might call it special, and who knows what they would mean by special exactly. Some might call this time extraordinary, meaning outside of what is ordinary, what we're used to, what we usually do. And I don't know how it's been feeling for you in your household and with your family, but a lot of us have been feeling a bit like this time is sort of like a roller coaster. Like one minute you feel pretty good about things, like you've adjusted and you're used to it, and the next minute you feel a little like kind of cranky and you want things to change. This week, while I was talking to some of the adults in our congregation, I said, you know, I think we're all experiencing the five stages of grief. I don't know if you remember Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's five stages of grief, but in case you don't remember, they are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I've gone through all five of those at least twice since this whole process began in the 5 weeks that we've been dealing with COVID, and I will probably go through them again, maybe even three or four just today. So if you've been feeling a roller coaster, know that you're not alone. And so what I've been realizing lately is that I think I need, this is where I'm really going to talk to the kids, I think I need something to help me with this time. And I decided that when I moved to Victoria, everybody told me I needed a kit. They told me I needed some special kind of kit so that if an earthquake happened, I would be ready. And I said, you know, I think that this time, this COVID-19 time, I need not a survival kit. What I really want is a thrivival kit. Okay, I made that word up. There is no such word as thrivival. But I think I need something that's going to help me thrive, something that's going to help me move through this time. And so I made up a backpack this week of thrivival kit things. And what I realized is that this backpack is actually my spirit. Actually, the survival kit I need is not something I can put on my back or carry with me, but it's something I carry with me all the time in my body, in my being, everywhere I go. So would you like to see what's in my survival kit? Here are things that I think we all need during this time, no matter what age we are. First thing that I have in my survival kit is Kleenex. I think we need lots and lots of Kleenex because we need to be able to express our feelings. If we're angry, if we're sad, whatever we're feeling, you need to be able to express it. So don't hide the Kleenex. Don't hide your tears. Don't hide your anger. Make sure you have your, there, John's got his Kleenex handy. Make sure you have your Kleenex handy. What else do I have in my survival kit? Well, I've noticed that sometimes I need stories. Just like Lindsay's been reading to put people every day, I need to sometimes remember that there are stories other than my own, that there are other things going on, other people feeling other things. So we still have some of the books that we got out from the library before the libraries closed. It was one of the saddest things for us was that our libraries closed. So this is one of the books that we've had for a while about a hippo going to the pool that Demetrius has been reading with us occasionally. But we also have some adult books. So I just recently got back out a book I got that I thought I would read for work, but have had no time to read, but is a fantastic book called The Unwinding of the Miracle. It's about a woman's journey through her cancer diagnosis, and she wrestled with a bunch of different things. And so I've been getting my books out because sometimes it's really good to read stories, to remember what other people have been thinking or feeling or going through throughout their lives. The other thing I think I need that I also have in my survival kit is I think I need to be creative, right? I think I need to draw pictures. And so maybe some of you got coloring sheets that you're coloring right now at home or things that you're drawing, words to inspire us. So I just want to remind us all that it's really good to be creative. Draw or paint or knit. Or I've heard a lot of people have been doing really good baking, which makes me really hungry this morning. But whatever it is that you love to do that feeds your spirit, that makes you happy, maybe gardening. I know a lot of you have been gardening. That's creative. We need that as part of our survival kit also. The other thing that I can't really show you in my survival kit, I forgot to bring my water bottle, but I think we need physical activity. Because when I start to feel a little grumpy or cranky, I notice that it's in my survival kit that's my spirit, that's my soul, is telling me that I need to move my body. That when I just sit still and I start to get a little antsy, I need to do something. So even if it's just shaking out my arms sometimes or taking a deep breath, maybe everybody can do that with me now. It can feel so good to just let our bodies let out what we're feeling. So finding ways each day, little ways, it could be a small walk around the block, it could just be a big stretch if your body's not making you feel comfortable with long walks these days, whatever it is that helps you let go, let go, let go. And the last couple things I've been thinking about that are in my survival kit have to do with having routines and spiritual practices, ritual kinds of things that we do each day. Because I don't know how about you, but the fact that the world and everything has been sort of topsy-turvy, that we don't have our regular routines, has been kind of rough. So to maybe invent some routines, what's helpful for you? Is it helpful to journal every day? Is it helpful to draw every day? Is it helpful to get up every morning and have the same breakfast? Is it helpful to do the same things, whether it's take a bath at the same time or something that just makes you feel like you're in a regular routine, even though so many things feel kind of topsy-turvy in your days? And having some of those things be what we might call spiritual practices. So some of you like to meditate, some of you like to sing, some of you like to dance, and finding times each day to do those things, I think will help us survive through this crazy time. And the last thing I have in my survival kit, which is very related to all of you, is a picture of some of my dear friends that Melora and I just spoke to on Friday. These friends of mine happen to also be colleagues. They're all also UU ministers. And we talk with them every other month, but recently we've been talking with them a little more often because we need a little extra something in this revival time. And it's reminding me that even though we can't be physically close to each other, it doesn't mean that we can't feel close to people. And so it's really, really, really super duper important to do whatever we can to feel connected and to stay connected, even if it's just through a phone call, even if it's through a screen, because I've been reminding myself lately that spiritual practices are all about trying to remember that we can feel connected even when we aren't actually physically in the same room. People have been doing this for centuries. That's what prayer and meditation are all about, is feeling connected across space and time. And so now's the time to lean into that. So let's do that. Let's practice leaning toward our screens. Lean in. Oh, look at that. And let's do it one more time. We can lean into a sense of connection with each other, even though we are distant physically. So let us remember our thrivival kits, that there will be things we will have to let go of, things we will want to hold on to, things we will want to keep close, and times we will need to lean in through these tumultuous up and down days. And the other thing, the last word that I want to share with you this morning is the word that has been coming to me over and over again. And that is the word grace. You all know the song about the amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Grace is this feeling that we have that good things can happen to us and that we didn't do anything for these good things to happen. But grace is also, in these times, something we can offer to other people. We can be gracious with each other by knowing that tomorrow or next hour you're going to be in tears because of something that didn't happen that you really wanted to have happen. So I can offer you grace. And just know, you're going to get angry sometimes for no reason right now. You're going to be sad sometimes for no reason right now. So grace is saying, we're all in these emotional, tumultuous times together. So let us offer grace. Let us offer kindness. Let us offer all that humble, humble love that everybody needs extra in these days. Because we have all lost things, big and small, in these days. And so we all need to share and to hold those things with grace. And in that spirit, we're going to share now some of our joys and our sorrows. So I invite you to open your chat box if you would like, and to share with me what are the things, what are the moments of grace that are lifting up your spirit in these times? You can type it in and it'll weave its way into a prayerful thing that I will offer for you. What's lifting up your spirits? Meditation. Oh, the joy of first steps of a little person. Connecting with family and friends. Yoga, nature, sunshine on the deck, cherry blossoms, bird songs, creative beading projects, and laughter, classical music and jazz, the bird feeder outside the window, lavender scent in your diffuser, listening to all kinds of music, and the beauty of spring is everywhere, isn't it? It's just everywhere. So much beauty, even in this time of tumult. And so we have so many joys that we're lifting up, but we also have things that are that we're holding that are hard and that are challenging in this time. We read the headlines and we can't help but feel a sadness in our hearts about the people in Topaz Park, locally, about our global community experiencing so much loss and sadness. And so I invite you to type into the chat then either the names of people or those that you would like to lift into or experiences you'd like to lift into the embrace of this community for holding with you over the coming week. Ruth, which I think is Ruth Miller, Lynn, Tommy Gaugas and Bunny, Aunt Nellie, Trip and River, Kimberly, Mom, Phoebe, the homeless in Victoria and throughout the world, those struggling with addiction, I would add to that list. Friend John, wife Janet, Heather. As you see the list of names, know that that's part of the grace that we offer one another, is to know that we hold not just ourselves, but as a whole community, the people, yes, the people of Nova Scotia also grieving intensely this week with loss added to loss. So let's just take a moment of stillness to breathe in and breathe out that amazing grace, that grace of love that we would offer out to the world. Perhaps you can even picture waves of grace coming out from your body, waves of love. You can even do that if it feels good to you to actually move your hands out from your body. A wave of love is coming out from me, washing over. For all of this, and for all the joys and the sorrows which we hold in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, we lift our beings in prayer this morning. Blessed be, and amen.
We come now to the part of our service where we join an offertory. While we're all in our own homes, you can contribute through the Unitarian website or by emailing a check. Our Share the Plate recipient for April is the BC Agriculture in the Classroom Foundation. Working with farmers and educators, this foundation teaches students about the story of our food and farming in British Columbia, promoting the value of our food, sustainable food system, learning how to grow things, look at my mushrooms, and the protection of BC's agricultural resource base for our society and the future. Very much centered on deep appreciation of the interconnected web of life of which we are all a part. This will be our last Share the Plate Sunday until we meet together in person. Please give generously. And speaking of our interspecies connections, I'm going to pass the mic to Farrell, who will lead us in a song.
Oh, we're there. Can you hear me? Right. Well, it's a pleasure to sing a song to you all. I wish we had found one that was a little more unusual, but this one, you know, I would like to share. It's called All God's Critters Got a Place in the Choir. I like that. Now, the critters the song talks about, it's written by a fellow called Bill Staines, are all the creatures you see in the picture books and so on, very familiar creatures. But I was thinking that there must be millions of species of creatures that have come from the same spark of life all those many years ago, when we're just part of that. When I think of all those creatures that we share this world with and the long journey they've made from the very beginnings, I say, wow. And I think that's a very good word. When I go outside now, I say, wow, and I say it often. I turn around, and it's a wow behind me, and it's a wow in front. So Shauna talked about some of the words that would help you along. And I'm listening to the people, the things they put in the chat room. There's lots of wow. So let's sing the song. What we're going to do is I'm going to line out a word, the line, and Penny's going to echo the line. And you can sing with Penny. We'll do it really slowly. And then we'll do the rest of the song as best we can. All God's critters got a place in the choir.
All God's critters got a place in the choir.
Some sing low, some sing higher.
Some sing low, some sing higher.
Some sing out loud on telephone wire.
Some sing out loud on a telephone wire.
And some just clap their hands or paws or anything. Here we go.
Hands or paws or anything they got.
All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks. The hippopotamus moans and groans and makes a big to-do. And the old cow just goes, oh! All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got.
Listen to the top where the little birdies sing on the melodies where the high notes ring. The moose owl hollers over everything. The jaybird disagrees.
All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now, one, two, three, four. It's a simple song, a living song everywhere. By the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear. The grumpy alligator and the hawk above. The sly raccoon and the turtle dove. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. Hands or paws or anything they got now. Hands or paws. Thank you. This was fun. Bye now.
The next element in this service is a little bit of Zumba. Zoom yoga. My kids are going to help with this. We can
see full screen.
Okay, I encourage everyone. I'm going to go to gallery view so I can see everyone. So, after all those long Zoom conferences and meetings that we have, picking up to the side, back up. And then enter the prayer. So, thinking about the yoga you can do on Zoom, got some eye exercises for our poor, weary eyes. So take your eyes, open them nice and wide, and look straight up to the left, to the right, down, and move your eyes in a circle. Our eyes, from so much screen time, need their own stretches. Now, other way. Eyes up,
to the left, down, to the right, eyes in a circle. You know that our eyes keep stretching too? Here, let's do our neck. So take your head, left ear to left shoulder, nice stretch. To the side, feeling the nice stretch in your neck. Other side, right ear to right shoulder. Stretching. And head down. Do a little roll, keep the spine stretching your neck. Now bring your shoulders right up to your ears, bring them up real tight and let them down to the side. And again, up and down. I have some facial stretches for you too. I want everyone to do a big surprise face. Your biggest surprise face. Stretching your eyes and your mouth. It's so good for your face. There's another one I learned, it's called blow cheek. Mary said, do not stop my music while I'm playing. Fill your cheeks with air. Can we do this, Mary? And move the air from left to right. We'll do that 5 times. Okay, I've got one more pose. You guys know the lion's pose? Have you heard of this one? It is such a good pose for these times. It makes you feel a little silly if you haven't done it before. You can affect my nose. Speaking of silliness. It will bring you a sense of strength when you feel that you need it. The lion pose involves sticking your tongue out and looking up at your own forehead, opening your mouth. Normally you would do it seated on the floor with your palms down. Are you ready to climb the pose? You can do that. Just like this, ready? And you can even do a little roar. Are you ready? We're gonna stick our tongues out, open our mouths like a lion doing a roar. Ready? One more time. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The poses that help us find strength, that regenerate our eyes with so much screen time. Now I want you to all to come
well,
up with your...
we're having screen time.
Exactly. I want you all to come up with your own face tone, your own silly face. Now everyone on the count of three, the funniest face you can think of right now. 1, 2, 3. I hope you're all on gallery view because that's a lot more entertaining. Excellent. Thank you for joining this facial yoga session. I invite everyone to shake it all out. And get ready to relax into a meditation. Pass it over to Aaron.
Wait, can I say something?
Okay, hello again. This morning we're going to do a little bit of mindfulness now that Sam's woken up our bodies. Now the kids and adults who come to story time have had lots of practice at this. And some of the other kids who go to program, we do every once in a while. But we want everybody to do it together today. So you can sit up if you're comfortable sitting, or you can stand up if you're more comfortable standing, or you can even lie down if you have enough space around to still hear me and lie down. Whatever is most comfortable for you. And once you're settled, we're going to take 3 breaths together. So nice, long, smooth breaths. So 1. Excellent. You're all really good at breathing. Do you know what I noticed when we were breathing? That everybody in all the pictures got very still and that we were really quiet when we were breathing together. And we call this our mindful body. When we're in our mindful bodies, we notice things that we don't normally notice. So we're going to try it again. And this time, while you're breathing, see what you can hear when you're doing your three breaths. Okay, so let's go again. Okay, so if anybody heard anything while they were breathing, can they type it into the chat box? I know I could hear the sounds of my computer. I could hear my breath. And earlier this morning when I was doing it without my headphones, I could hear the birds outside the window. So can anybody type in the chat box what they heard while they were doing their breaths? Well, we heard some wind chimes outside the window. Tommy's, the clock. Somebody making bread. That's a good sound to hear. Somebody getting snacks. The birds. Dogs. So a lot of these sounds are quiet sounds in the background that we don't normally hear when we're just going around our lives. So it's nice to notice them. So let's try one more thing. We'll stretch your arms up and then bring it down and put it on your belly. And we'll do our three breaths again. Now, did you feel your belly moving when you were doing your breathing?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And you don't normally, our belly moves as we breathe all day long. And we breathe all day long because we're all still here. So, but we don't normally notice that. But what we can do in mindfulness is we can call our belly, when putting our hand on our belly, it can act as an anchor. And so an anchor is a thing we have on a boat that holds it steady. So when the waves come, the boat stays where it is. It bobs around in the water. It's not very still, but it doesn't float away because the anchor keeps it in the right place. And so we can use our breath to help keep us where we want to go, or where we want to be, I should say. So we can do our three breaths when it's hard to focus on something. Or if we're feeling some of those feelings that Reverend Shauna was talking about a little while ago, if they start to feel a little bit too much, we can put our hands on our belly and we can do three breaths. Let's do it one more time. Awesome. We are now all experts. So during the week, you can practice if you're finding it hard to get to sleep or you're feeling too many feelings and you want to calm down a little bit, you can try and do your three breaths. Excellent. And now Kathy is going to do a song with us. Kathy, you're muted right now. Can you unmute first?
I just did. Very good. Thank you. Wow. This has been such a lovely morning so far. Thank you for inviting me to be part of it. In addition to, I guess, practicing mindfulness or knowing some good body stretches, it can be great to have a song in your pocket, a song that offers encouragement. And I wrote this song 2 summers ago when pondering the question, what do I most need to hear right now to be everything I need to be? And I love that word Shana used earlier, thrivival. So maybe this could be like a thrivival song for you. And I call it, You Got This. It's got 3 layers. And each layer has what I'll call an A and a B part. I'll teach each part. And then I'm just going to start cycling through them. And you can sing whichever layer you want at the same time or cycle through them with me. They all stack up on top of each other. So the first layer, the A part is, you got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. Try that. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. And then you got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. Try that. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. Back to A. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. Great. Next layer is fly, be free. I encourage you to flap your arms. Fly, be free. Great. The A part is fly, be free. The B part is fly, be free. Let's do both of those. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. Fly, be free. Fly, be free. Fantastic. The third layer is soar. That's the A. B is soar. A. Soar. B. Soar. From the top. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. You got this. Uh-huh. Fly, be free. Go ahead and say, fly, be free. Get your wings out. You can get with that soaring arms, letting yourself be free and reminding yourself that you got this.
Yay. Thank you, Dick and Kathy. Dick is a special guest there. That's so great. Just a plug, they're doing a sing-along group on Wednesdays, and I didn't format it very well, but it is pasted in the text there. And I understand that Nancy has also started a sing-along group, so these are so good for you right now. Do it, okay? I hear that turnabout is fair play, so I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about Aaron. I know that lots of you are now having to do work and school at home and to use screens to connect. to take a big scary test Friday at home on Zoom. The test was to prove that he is great at helping kids at church. And the good news is he passed. Passing this test has a fancy name. It is called Getting Credentialed as a Unitarian Universalist Associate Religious Educator. And I had to write that down so I could read it correctly. I thought that we could help Arne relax after his big test by telling him a few jokes. If you don't get a chance to share a joke during worship today, I encourage you to share jokes during the breakout rooms after we finish. Just before we start telling jokes, we are going to unmute everybody, and I think maybe Rev Shauna can help us with that so that we can all say congratulations to Arne. So Rev Shauna, can you, do you have the power?
Congrats there,
congratulations, round of applause.
Hey, go, Arn. Congrats.
Honey, you're going to have to cut us off.
Thank you, everybody, for all of your congratulations. And I saw lots of congratulations in the chat box as well for Arne. It was quite an accomplishment, and we are so grateful for all of Arne's contributions to our community. And I know that Anna wanted to lead a few more jokes. So let's see if there are a few more jokes before we move toward our closing blessing.
Shauna, we need you to lead us in for He's a Jolly Good Fellow with us all muted for this part.
It's pretty tricky. So I'm going to sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, and you guys are going to enact singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Which nobody can deny. Thank you, Arne.
Okay. So I think that Sam is going to keep an eye out for people waving their hands who say that they might want to tell a joke. Please keep it family friendly. We do have the mute option if we really need it. But I thought I would start us off. Is on my screen, I'm not showing, Rev Shauna is showing. I don't know who has powers over that, but I hope that you can see me because this is a visual joke. Shauna, can you see me? Yeah, okay. What is green and invisible? This cabbage. Sam, do you see anybody else who might be waving their hand? I heard that maybe Heather and Hayden had a joke, if they're in your list.
And they're unmuted. Go ahead, Hayden.
Okay.
What did the left eye say to the right eye?
What did it say?
Nothing between us smells.
Do you have any other volunteers? Who do you see, Sam?
Is that David? Is your hand up? Go for it.
I'm not sure it's really a joke, but I like the notion that the only thing that annoys a Unitarian is when no one disagrees.
I'm not sure the punchline on the second joke. Could we have a repeat on that?
The joke was, what did the left eye say to the right eye?
Yeah.
Something between us smells.
Hazel has a joke.
It's in the chat that Hazel has a joke, Sam. Can you help us get to Hazel on?
Yeah.
She's with Katie McNiven, I think.
Everyone's unmuted now.
Oh.
Chicken fried computers.
Okay, go ahead. Try it again.
How did chickens buy their computers?
So Sorry, I had to mute everyone. Okay.
With $10.
$10.
What did she say?
How about over to Paula?
What did she say?
Go ahead, Paula.
Hi, everyone. All right, I have a couple animal ones. What do you call a dog magician? A labracadabrador. And two fish are in a tank. One turns to the other and says, I don't know how to drive this thing. And two more. You can distinguish an alligator from a crocodile by paying close attention to whether the animal sees you later or in a while.
Right.
Last one. Ordered a chicken and an egg on Amazon. I'll let you know.
Thank you.
I got one.
Go ahead, Farrell.
It's what my mother told me. Why is a crow? Cause.
Mute.
I'm scrolling through looking for hands.
I can't resist this one.
Looks like Jen over there.
Mom.
Go ahead.
Pause for comedic effect. Go for it.
Why do seagulls fly over the sea? Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels.
Good point. Mm. Good point.
Can okay. I try one?
Over to Laura.
Why couldn't the pony sing in the choir?
Why?
Because it was a little horse.
Oh, I saw Harry Moore has tried a few times. Maybe let him in.
Okay, everybody knows the answer to this one. What's black and white and red all over? Who's got the answer? A newspaper.
I see Jane. Go ahead, Jane.
Okay, there's two seagulls flying overhead, and one says to the other, I don't see any cars down there. And the second one says back, well, you'll just have to hold it then. Sorry.
Looks like the B team have one. They've posted in the chat. Do you want to share it?
Who does?
The B team, Bernard and family.
What vegetable don't boats like? Leaf.
Well, thank you all for participating in what is possibly the most awkward format to ever share a joke.
We have one more here.
Oh, awesome. Okay, we have our closer here, folks.
I want to do one. What's the problem with twin witches? You can't tell which is which.
Twin witches.
There you have it.
Sam, can you mute us all and for our more reverential musical transition?
Thank you, everyone, for all of those fantastic jokes. It was a good reminder that I should have said in the Thrivival kit is laughter, because you have to be able to laugh at least at yourself every once in a while, if not at other things like really fantastic jokes, because you can't tell which is which these days. So I want to invite us into a time of blessing as we end our service formally, but move then into some breakout groups for those who'd like to stay and have some small group conversation when we're done. So I'd like you to return to gallery view if you have not already. I know that some people are so fond of it, they stay in gallery view the whole time, but if you have not, please return to gallery view. And I want to invite you to scroll through the images, the faces of those in your community, in their homes. They are not with you in body, but they are certainly with you in spirit, remembering you in these days. And I want to invite us then to do what has become a bit of a tradition for us, which is to place one hand on our hearts, on our heart chakra, and to reach one hand toward our camera so that we can feel ourselves sending forth our blessings toward all those beautiful faces that we have seen on the screen and beyond, out into the world, our blessings of love, of kindness, of gentleness and graciousness. May we all find that we have what we need, that we are not only surviving but thriving in new ways in these days. And may we go forth knowing that though we may be alone sometimes in our homes, we are not alone in the fact that there are others thinking of us, sending thoughts, sending warmth, sending love our way. So may it be, not only in these strange days, but every day of our lives. Amen.